You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This kid, Tommy, watching their son do this.
What a throw by DeVito! Touchdown, Giants!
For the New York Giants has got to be mind-blowing to them. His name is Tommy DeVito.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Coming up, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. A delightful conversation with Nick Sirianni, who is, showing off that he's just the same guy, no matter where he is in the standings or where he might be in the win-loss column and where he might be in terms of winning or losing in general. He seemed to be locked in and very engaging in our conversation last hour, certainly when I mentioned the brotherly shove play and whether his opinion would be if they ban it. Fun answers, good stuff, lots of fun. If you missed, stay tuned. 2 hours from now, we re-air it. And we re-air this entire show. And we also have our podcast. There's the Rich Eisen Show collection page, our video on demand service through our Roku channel relationship. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bruce Feldman's coming in, and we'll talk about free agency. Because that's what it is. You know what I mean? That is exactly what it is, and where guys or kids are going and where they're not going. And because that's the conversation right now as we're waiting for the bowl games to hit and the national championship semifinal game. He's coming in then Albert Breer in hour number three from the NFL owners meeting in the Metroplex in Dallas-Fort Worth, where the league just announced Brazil is going to host its first ever NFL regular season game in 2024, the first ever in South America. So let's go. It'll be nice and hot, right? I mean, if they hold it in November, that'll be right in the middle of the summer there. Correct?
Yes.
If I understand my hemispheres. Mike is the Rich Eisen Show hemisphere expert. Okay?
Yes, Rich.
It'll be hot. It's 85 there right now.
There you go.
Rich, the earth tilts like this.
Thanks,
basically.
Mike.
What is it? It'd be like that.
Mike is the Rich Eisen Show axis expert.
Yes. It's like this.
You know your solstices, sir. You also know your summers. You hit on them in bars every now and then.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
97 on Sunday in San Paolo right now.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So we got to maybe hold that game and win in October? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Each team's own markets, I think, or that they have the rights to the markets. And I think the Dolphins are the only ones who own the rights to the market in Brazil, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. And I know, again, the Patriots were very involved with the population, the fan bases in Germany for a long time. And so when I saw Robert Kraft and the Kraft family in Frankfurt for the last International Series game this year, Colts and Patriots in Frankfurt, Germany, I was calling that game on NFL Network. You could see it meant a ton to them. Big time. And Robert Kraft even said that they were the first NFL team to have a website for German speaking fans for the New England Patriots. Cool. They had been cultivating that market for years, and Kraft told me himself that they had been eager to play a game in Germany for a long time. And I bet you it probably, I shouldn't speak for him ever, but how difficult it might have been for him to want to get into that German market with his team to see the first ever game played in Germany, quarterbacked by Tom Brady, won by Tom Brady, and it wasn't in the Patriots uniform. That had to just, I'm going to rankle. Again, I shouldn't ever ascribe any emotions or thoughts to Robert Kraft when I haven't heard them myself. But just knowing how much they wanted to win that game in Germany and be in Germany, it probably, you know, gave him a moment or a twinge of damn, you know, Brady wins it, but it's not with the Patriots. So when I heard, honestly, when I heard Tom Curran's report, or he went on a local radio show in Boston, our friend Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston, saying that he heard that after the loss to the Colts, the Krafts had essentially made up their minds about Bill Belichick's future. And they were going to, as Tom said, play out the string and then part ways with Belichick. When I heard that, and I heard that the Colts game was essentially the moment in his, from what he was told, was the moment the Krafts made the decision, it adds up.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to win. We were at the walkthrough after speaking with Belichick in our broadcast meeting. And out at the walkthrough, Robert Kraft spoke to the team at the end of the walkthrough. And I turned to Jason McCourty and I'm like, how often does that happen? Because, you know, he had a year with the Patriots. Obviously, Devin was the guy who was the McCourty that played for Bill and with the Patriots for a long time. And he's like, yeah, that doesn't, he doesn't remember that happening. And then Kraft said to me when I interviewed him live on NFL Network that he had not done that in years. And it's the only time he addressed the team. He usually likes to do it around Thanksgiving, but he addressed the team and he basically told him how much winning in Germany would mean to the organization. Now, again, I know so many folks from the outside looking in the NFL are like, what are these guys even care about going internationally? Why do they even care? Like, why does the NFL do it? Why would they even consider putting a team elsewhere? Heaven forbid a Super Bowl instead of a United States city in that economy, sending it to, say, London or what have you. Why would they even? Because it is important to the league to get the game out there. It is important to the league and teams to get the game in certain places financially. Let's not kid each other. I mean, and identify a football rabid community outside our borders and talk to them and market to them and make their team this fan base's favorite. And the Patriots, for the Patriots, that market was Germany. And it is. And they wanted to win that game really badly. And they didn't. And not only did they not.
Well, I mean,
it was particularly brutal watch.
Yeah, it's rough. 6 points.
So does this add up that the Colts moment would be the breaking point? Yeah. Does it add up that they're done already? That one is just it. I don't know. I just certainly since you saw again what happened in Pittsburgh, and I know we've been having our fun with the memo and stuff like that, wanting to tank, and you wanting them to tank to get Caleb Williams. And I told you this is an organization that would not tank. They will not tank,
of course,
because they want to win. We saw what happened in Pittsburgh, and I know that game meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. Certainly in the grand scheme of things, it might hinder their ability to get a quarterback like Caleb Williams' stature and win games with him for a long time. And I, you know, keep saying, I lament that time that the Jets won here in SoFi with Frank Gore costing him a shot at Trevor Lawrence. But I see what they did in Pittsburgh, and Belichick hasn't lost an ounce of his ability to coach and win football games with the people who he has on his roster. The issue is he's the one who's deciding who's on his roster. And I keep thinking to myself, could there be some construct where those groceries are shopped by someone else? Like, period. Where they come up with a construct similar to, all right, Bill, you're bringing on an offensive coordinator that we want.
Right.
And you're still the head coach here. We have no idea what's going on in that building.
Also, Bill, you know, reportedly signed a new deal. He's under contract for next year. So if he is out, are they going to try to trade him somewhere else and get an asset back? Remember, he was acquired in a trade to begin with back in 2000. So
right.
There's a lot happening, and there's a lot that's going to happen here in the next few weeks.
Belichick was actually asked about this today, and this is what he had to say.
Do you have an understanding that Robert will not ask you to be back next year?
Yeah, getting ready for Kansas City. That's what I'm doing.
Bill, while understanding that you're getting ready for Kansas City, have you and Robert discussed your future beyond the season?
Getting ready for Kansas City.
I mean, you know, ironically enough, it was the loss to Kansas City that told him we were going to move on to Cincinnati.
Right,
and it's the same answer he's getting. I mean, you're not going to get that answer. No. But if he did know this already, I think you could make book on the fact that he's already identified where he would want to be next. And maybe it's the media. His appearance on College Game
Day
was
incredible.
And the number of people that are like, I didn't know him. This is it. That's the guy I spent a day and a half with at NFL Films, who loves ball, loves talking ball, loves having fun talking ball, can have fun, like putting on a helmet and talking to Corso and talking about old school football, and but also still being, you know, talking to McAfee of McAfee's generation and the kids screaming behind. I mean, he could fit in. Name any spot, booth, studio, name it. And he would be spectacular at it. Spectacular. I have no idea if that's exactly what he wants to do. But if he has been told by Kraft or the Krafts, like, this is the way it's going to go, then he's already mapping this his next thing out. While also beating the Steelers. And watch what watch the Jedi mind tricks he's going to pull on Mahomes this week.
And try.
Going to try. I mean, of all the teams that you think you could figure out your offense against, and I know the Saints came in and blew the doors off this team earlier this year. I feel it's different. You know, the defense always gets better in New England by the middle of the season and the end of the season. And they don't even have their best players on defense because of injury. I wouldn't be surprised if he's already figured out his next spot too. Now then. Before Bruce Feldman joins us, we just had Nick Sirianni on this program. And he was talking about how you have to block out the noise. You have to accept the criticism and know some of it's warranted while discarding the ones that you think are unwarranted.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I totally got it. I totally understood what he was saying. Go. And I told him the reason why I got it is because I'm from the Northeast. And I understand that people who succeed in positions like the ones that he has needs to have that sensibility in order to succeed in a place like Philadelphia.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why I told him there. I almost told him, I get it, because I have to fight through all this with my power rankings every week.
Of course. Yeah.
But I figured I should relate to him.
Sure.
Not use my real estate with him for my own issues.
Right.
That's a YP from his perspective.
That's good discipline on your part.
Yeah, Rich, that was good.
Well, I'm multifaceted is what I'm saying.
Sure, right.
But once again, it is time to accept some criticism and block out most of it for my weekly power rankings. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Yes, it's time for my power rankings, and this was particularly difficult.
Oh.
Because would you care to guess how many of the teams on my power rankings from last week went on to lose their game this past week?
Got to be half.
The answer is 7.
Oh.
7 teams on my power rankings last week lost their game.
That's a shame.
7 of them. So there's lots of jumbling, and there'll be lots of stuff from you. But they lost their game. How could they stay put? And yes, that's how you sound.
Is that Chris?
I know one team that didn't lose their game, though.
Number 10 on this list, down one spot, are the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're 10th on the list. They are 8-5. Once upon a time, 8-3. Bless Trevor Lawrence for having whatever sinewy ligaments You want to put it T-Law's sinewy ligaments down for a fantasy team?
I don't know.
I don't know. S-I-N-E-W-Y.
Oh, okay.
What he said.
Cool.
How does this guy play a football game? He wasn't even walking like Fred G. Sanford. He was barely able to amble.
Elizabeth.
And then next time we see him on a football field, he's going through all of his pregame, you know, ankle flexion warm-up thingies, and he's going out there and damn near beating the Cleveland Browns. So, I've got him 10th on the list, just down one spot, because I can't quit the AFC South leader that had a chance to be the one seed about 8 quarters ago.
They should have been higher to begin with. I mean, come on.
Number 9. Back on the list. New to the list this week. I'm putting the Cleveland Browns.
The Flacco Sans
is on.
I got him in fantasy.
Joe Flacco is now 2-0. Right?
No, he's
1-1. Pardon me. I just read. He's 1-1.
But he's played really well.
He's now 1. He helped the Cleveland Browns. Here's the stat. No, sorry. He has now helped the Cleveland Browns to become the rare team to win 4 games in a season with 4 different quarterbacks. That has happened.
How?
Well, the defense is a big help, and that's why they're 9th on the team. Because that defense, I mean, Myles Garrett is a one-armed Myles Garrett is better than two-armed most people.
3 arms.
Okay, and they're gonna get Ward back at some point. I thought they were gonna get him back this past week. They didn't, and they still beat this team from Jacksonville.
They've lost so many key players to injury. It's amazing.
8th on the list are the Detroit Lions. Down one spot. That's all I could say about the Detroit Lions right now.
You sounded disgusted.
Well, I'm not disgusted. I'm disappointed. And, you know, they could have easily been swept by the Chicago Bears, kiddos. And then they lost to Green Bay on Thanksgiving in a very dispirited day for them. They just got to get back to that Hannibal Lecter mentality, and the coach is going to have to do it on Saturday night on NFL Network, home against Denver. And then 2 games against Minnesota. There's a big game at Dallas. But they're still on my list here. The sun god has been eclipsed
a little bit
the last couple of weeks as well. So they got to get back to the run game, play off it, and then have Goff make fewer mistakes. How does that sound? The offensive line is seeming in trouble to protect them now. And that has been their strength. At any rate, number 7 on this list, down 2 spots, are the Miami Dolphins. I have them at number 7. And the reason why they're at 7 and not 6 is because I put the team at 6 above them that's beaten them. And the Dolphins, that was a very disappointing loss. And I don't know what to make of them right now, other than the fact that I need to see something from them against a team that they have to beat and get past in the playoffs for me to get a little bit more hope in them. Now they're hurt on that offensive line. They have gotten crushed offensive line injury ways. They've lost their center for the year, which is really problematic. So they're 7, and the Chiefs are 6. I didn't make any changes on them. Man, they could have easily won this game, and I'm so upset with the way that they handled this loss in the final minute and minutes after it. It just, you know what, I obviously, as I said on the previous program, if there's anybody who's earned a pass, it's Patrick Mahomes. But the thing that I'm really disappointed about is I feel it's born out of his frustration with people he can't be outwardly frustrated towards. If I may dangle a preposition at the end there. It just is one of those things where he can't scream at his receivers who keep on letting him down. So he'll just take it out on an official. Uncharacteristically.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about him just for that alone. Number 5. Back on the list, I have the Buffalo Bills in my top 5 again, because they're playing like a top 5 team now. I'm sorry, folks, if you think that I'm overrating them. I don't believe I am. I even toyed about having them as the number 1 ranked team in the AFC on my list.
I would say they're at least 2nd, right? In terms of talent and how they're playing.
Well, you haven't
moment.
Heard the name Ravens yet, so
that's what I mean.
Correct.
The 2nd best AFC
right now,
team, yeah.
And this is the eye test. And you could see it. You could feel it. The old Josh Allen's back. Whatever their issues on offense were, I believe, have been fixed. Defensively, they're also banged up, but keep on keeping on. What a game against Dallas this weekend. Number four in the list are the Eagles, down two spots. I think we all understand what's going on with them. Number three on the list, no change. They needed to overcome a lot of defensive lapses, but they have an MVP candidate at quarterback. Some of the plays that Lamar Jackson made against the Los Angeles Rams, stepping up in the pocket and keeping his head up the field. The touchdown he threw to Zay Flowers and then the two-point conversion after it are two plays you should seek out and go, that's the Lamar Jackson that is an MVP Lamar Jackson, keeping the play alive, keeping his head up, not going out the gate, but throwing for touchdowns. That is the guy right there. And then defensively, I'm concerned about Kyle Hamilton's injury. It's a different defense without him, as we saw against the Rams. Number two, up two spots. This is the highest I have placed the Dallas Cowboys all year. They've earned it.
Here we go.
They've earned it.
Yeah, they have.
They have absolutely earned it. Dak is an MVP candidate, notwithstanding Cam Newton's evaluation. We'll talk about that later on. The defense is balling out. They got playmakers on every level, and they have maybe the best kicker we've seen since Justin Tucker. And I know that's saying a lot. Brandon Aubrey is amazing.
You're not off.
So it's all phases working. Their punter doesn't even work. That's how it's working.
Well, he holds for the kicks.
Brian, so. The only anger you see is, you know,
him not getting on the field.
Him not getting on the field from Brian. Number one of the 49ers.
He's got contract incentives.
Number one of the 49ers, that goes without saying as well. Off the list are the Texans and the Packers. And that is my list of power rankings. Week 15, baby.
All right, let's see.
A good list. I got zero issue with your power rankings.
All right.
I like it.
Thank you.
Anybody not on the list should be there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Bills, Dallas.
I think so.
You're finding these 10 to get easier as the year goes on.
I mean, seven lost. We'll see what happens this week. Take a break. Bruce Feldman is here, everybody.
Bruce
Feldman is here. How will I earn his disapproval this week? That's next. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on game time in seconds with two taps, and there's a game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports here on The Rich Eisen Show, usual Wednesday spot. We were just talking on our Roku channel stream, saying hello to our radio audience here, that this is the most wide open college football playoff that you've seen. And I would agree. I think any of the four teams can win it. They've got, you know, quarterbacks that can get hot and win it and just go ahead and have defenses that can make enough plays and win it. The coaches coming to the equation here. I mean, this is pretty big for Sarkisian too, right? I mean, this is his.
Yeah, and he has evolved so much from the guy who used to coach at Washington or even the one who struggled at USC, because I think the time at Alabama, he took some of the best things from Nick Saban, literally took some of the best assistant coaches that Nick Saban had on that staff,
mm-hmm.
Brought in. But, you know, for all the flash of him being a play caller, I think he realizes we need to be physical. We need to be in the trenches, nasty team. And they have that. And so, you know, they're a dangerous team because they have a lot of speed at receiver. They have a streaky quarterback, and they have good big people. And that right now, I think, could win them a national title.
Do you think the Heisman Trophy voters got it right?
Sure. It's not like I voted. My top guy was Michael Penix Jr. A lot of respect to Jaden Daniels. But I just thought, you know, if Jaden Daniels isn't the quarterback there, you know, they had a terrible, historically bad LSU defense. The only thing was in the games that they lost,
mm-hmm.
like I would argue he wasn't the better quarterback against Florida State. They were down 45-17 with a minute left in that game. Yeah, their defense was getting shelled, but it wasn't like, you know, he had a 75-yard touchdown pass in the last minute of the game, you know. But and then when they played Alabama, Jalen Milroe went off in that game. They were both spectacular. But, and you know, one guy got, you know, Daniels, terrific year. But to me, Michael Penix Jr., what he did at that program, I think the evolution of him from the guy who was so banged up, had so many injuries at Indiana, you know, they were a mess when Kalen DeBoer took over and brought him in there. And I just thought he was my top guy. You know, now Bo Nix was deserving. I think Jaden Daniels was deserving.
Mm-hmm.
It's anybody could have won that.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so we're in free agency right now, right? That's what we're at right now.
Oh my God, yeah.
So what's the story? What's leaping out at you, to you about what we're seeing right now?
The quarterback market is crazy right now. You know, probably the biggest name in there now is Cameron Ward, who started his career at a small school, Incarnate Word in Texas, put up huge numbers, followed his offense coordinator to Pullman, put up really good numbers in the Pac-12. There's, you know, some of the things we're hearing is if you want to be in the Cam Ward market, you may have to pay $1.5 million, which is not an insignificant amount of money, right, mm-hmm. in this point. He's a guy who could go to the NFL, but I don't think he would be, you know, one of those top guys right now. I mean, he's got good size. He can extend plays. He's got a quick release, but he's been a little inconsistent. You know, but he also doesn't have the talent around him. Some of these other guys who are on the top of the draft probably do. You know, he's visiting Miami right now as we speak. Is he a guy that Ohio State tries to jump in on? I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about where else he could be going.
Well, they need a quarterback.
They do. I mean, I know that they have some optimism about Devin Brown, who is a younger quarterback who's going to play Mizzou in the Cotton Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Because, I mean, the bar obviously in Columbus for quarterback play is sky high after what they've had. Different versions of it, you know, whether it's, you know, a dual threat guy like Fields or C.J. Stroud was pretty close to flawless.
Yeah, right now you've got one kid who is the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. And you got one kid who's quarterbacking Texas in the college football playoffs who left because Stroud was there for one more year.
Yeah, no, he was barely there. Like, he was there for, like...
He was there for a year, wasn't he?
He was there for a few months.
Okay.
So, but he... Like, the weird thing about Ewers' time there was, you know, he left his high school a year early, you know, because there was an NIL situation where he couldn't get money, so he could get up there. Went there. I don't think he ever had a chance to really compete for that starting job the way it was set up. Went in there, and then
Stroud was there. I mean, what do you?
Yeah, so, I mean, no shame in that. But it's like you're going to go in the you know, at the middle of training camp and think you're going to win a starting job. That's not realistic. Not even realistic to think you're going to be the backup.
Right.
So
what is going on with Arch Manning? Because is Ewers going anywhere? I mean,
everything I'd heard was that he was expected to stay another year. Now he'll probably
just sit and watch.
Well, I'm saying that Ewer stays, and then right. all of a sudden, yeah, Arch. I mean, there's a guy in between them who's also really talented, Malik Murphy, who's way bigger, has a terrific arm, hasn't played that much, didn't play that much in high school, and he was the guy who took over when Ewers got hurt. I think, from everything I heard, you know, the staff really likes Arch Manning. The consistency is a is a challenge right now. It's up and down. He's a young quarterback.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
I know, but he's a Manning as well. And so, you know, like they're already probably counting about how many years it is down to his second NFL contract right now. I'm sorry. You
is
know
that
what I mean?
The big rush, though? Like, I mean, like, what's the best thing for his development? When you knew you're sending him from there, it wasn't like the level of competition he was facing where he was in high school was like he was playing modern day or Bosco's schedule out here where they're playing
right. The
best of the best in high school, you know? So it's like, I think they're, you know, they have to be savvy enough to sit there and go, okay, what's the best thing long-term? Because if you throw somebody into a situation because it's, you want it right now, it's probably going to be to the detriment. Like if you believe in Steve Sarkisian and he's a terrific play caller
yep. And
he's been proven to be really, really good with college quarterbacks, you know, ride it out, you know, like learn behind yours. You're going to, you know, I think they're only going to keep recruiting better and better after this playoff run. Is it that big of a rush? You know, it's, Lord knows they don't need the money. So like just ride the development part of it out. I mean, you know, could he get on the field someplace else next year if Ewers comes back? Of course he could play someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
But is that ultimately the best thing for him? I mean, look, far be it for me or you to judge.
To give advice
to the Mannings about quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. And here I'm just assuming, but here I am. I don't mean to lump you in, but here I am wondering that the best way to get better would be to get the experience going, right? And to get the playing going. And because, again, I mean, you take a look at what's going on in the NFL right now. Who are the guys who are surprising with their play early on in their careers? It's the ones who have 40 career starts in college.
Right.
35, 40 career starts in college. I mean, Jake Browning, you know all about him from Washington. It's not like he's just fell off a turnip truck.
No.
You know,
no.
I mean, and Brock Purdy in Iowa State. Like that's, so I'm just wondering if anybody does know about the development of quarterbacks more than any other human beings, it is the Manning family. That's the only reason why I asked, certainly
it's
since
a, it's an interesting dynamic because if you're them, do you sit there and go, would it have been wiser for us to go to TCU? Now, I think they, at the time, TCU was pretty confident in Chandler Morris.
Mm-hmm.
But like, would you go to someplace like that as opposed to sitting, you know, like LSU's backup is really talented, right? It's Doug Nussmeier's son, Garrett. He's been behind Jaden Daniels, you know, for the last 2 years. And he's played some, but it's like, ultimately, what's the best, like, where do you want to be? And then what's the best situation in terms of for guys who are going to play? Because as you said, now look, I mean, the two guys who are also with Jaden Daniels at the Heisman transferred, played a lot at Auburn, played a lot at Indiana, and then went up there and blossomed.
Yeah.
Really blossomed in years 3 and 4. So, you know, I don't think it's one size fits all because, like, Joe Burrow didn't play at Ohio State at all. And then right. He had 1 year at LSU where it was kind of they were evolving and what they did scheme-wise. And then the next year, he's the greatest quarterback I've seen in college.
Right.
So, I don't think it's necessarily that way. But, yeah, the trend says that right now.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of Prime's week, Deion's week? We had Jordan Seaton here. He was a terrific kid and large and exactly the type of left tackle that you'd want to have and build around. And then Deion filled out the rest of the line through
the portal,
you know? So
that's exactly what he needs. Now, like the pressure is going to be on Phil Loadholt, who is a former towering offensive lineman at Oklahoma, who's a young offensive line coach who is now the offensive line guy to bring those guys together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I still think, you know, they have six, you know, they need it. And they've lost a couple of guys on the other end of the portal, like the starting center is going someplace else. And they need to hit that really hard and they need to develop it because they were so bad up front. They were so bad in the trenches. I don't think it's unrealistic for them where, like, I think it's, you go from 1 win to 4 wins and that's positive. I think they could go to 9 wins next year, you know, but again, it's hard. Like the Miami had basically the Jordan Seaton of last year. Francis Maui Noah is a giant of a man, you know, freak athlete, was on our top 10 in our freaks list.
Mm-hmm.
Had a really strong freshman year. But it's a different position. You know, it's like, it's hard for offensive tackles or offensive linemen to come in and be impact guys. But he can certainly be much better than what they had last year, and I think that's a building block. And I think these other guys who have played, at, especially the guys who started in the Power Five, even if they're not like elite linemen, if they're just, they're better than probably what they had. Now the question is, can you bring everybody together? Because I think Shador is really, really good, and I think they do have good skill guys around them. You know, it's just, there's a, you know, they were a long way away from being a top 25 team. They were in the beginning of the year.
Right.
But it was like, you know, you beat a Nebraska team that's not very good. You beat Colorado State, who is obviously not, you know, not very good. They had a couple other games. They should have won Stanford. You know, there's a few others where they probably could have got bowl eligible. But, you know, from talking to a lot of coaches, it's like they, you know, this is what they need to do, but they need to keep going. It's not just, hey, we got five guys who played somewhere. It'll be better. I mean, they were so bad up front. That's the challenge, is to get from, you know, it's hard to go from bad in the offensive line. It's hard to go from awful in the offensive line to great. You have to go to at some point you have to get to mediocre, and at least then you go to decent. And can they get to there?
But they filled a need in the last 5 days.
Yeah, right? I think it's, but I don't think it's just like, okay, now we got five or six guys. Now we're going to go from 4 wins to 10 wins. I think there's now the heavy lifting really happens.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, let's enter a portal of our own. Let's go a month from now. Jim Harbaugh is where 1 month from now?
A month from now.
What is it?
He is like January 15th.
January 15th. By the way, let me just finish setting this thing up. As the league has, the NFL has changed their rules into, you know, on who you can interview and when. You know, certainly for coaches who are in the league to go and interview other people's assistants and things of that nature, or in the playoffs, they have changed their rules. So January 15th, right? Or let's just say January 15th, whatever it is. January 15th, 2024, Jim Harbaugh is where?
Jim Harbaugh, who's never been have an agent guy as a coach, Jim Harbaugh may have an agent at that point. And this is a guess. That's a slightly informed guess. I would think Jim Harbaugh is entertaining offers from the NFL.
So he has not signed a contract with Michigan, has not signed a contract extension with Michigan by January 15th?
I don't think so. I really don't.
What if he does win it all?
I think he's definitely going to.
Then he's going to the NFL if he wins it all, is what you're saying.
Yes. Huh. Because if he does, mission accomplished. I have never won a Super Bowl. My brother's won a Super Bowl. I've never won. I came close. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think if he wins a national title, he's staying there forever?
I don't know. I think Michigan might give him the contract he wants.
What's the contract? Michigan can't give him, I don't think, what he wants most.
Which is a Lombardi trophy.
Yes.
You can buy those at Tiffany, by the way, $20,000.
Yeah. Far be it for me to say this because it's not my money, but if Michigan's going to pay him $10 million or $12 million, is it really that big of a difference?
Between the NFL and Michigan?
No, I'm saying, like, if Michigan's going to say, hey, we're going to pay you $10 million a year as opposed to $12
million. Right.
Is it really a difference at that point with the money? Again, I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, I don't know about
you. I don't want to speak for you guys.
Shohei Ohtani, look at this guy over here. But, I understand what you're saying. I can pick up what you're saying.
It's the Super Bowl part of it.
Michigan can never satisfy that.
They can't. And I think if I'm you, I'm like, please get us the national title, and then I'll see you at the draft or whatever, you know, kind of thing. I'm not even going to speak for you.
So then who would be the next guy there? Would there just be an open competition, or would they?
I mean, look, Sharon's done as good an argument as you could have hoped. You know, he led them to a bunch of wins against big teams, and the kids play hard for him, and he can, you know, will he have to grow into the job? Yes. But I think right now, as we're doing this, to me, the biggest winner of the coaching carousel this year is Kansas, because Lance Leipold is still in Kansas. If that job comes open, if I'm Michigan, do I look and say, well, if we're not really ready to give it to Sharon because we're just not sure if he's ready to take over full go, then go try to get the guy from Kansas, because that guy works miracles and that guy knows what it takes to develop a culture and build, and because he keeps proving it. But short of that, again, I think you know, Michigan can put the biggest offer in front of Jim they want. I just think the one thing they can't do for him is to get him a Super Bowl chance.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thank you for the time. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
We're on the cusp of the most wonderful time of the year.
At the most wonderful time. We got bowls this weekend.
What do we got?
Oh.
What do we got?
Let's take a look.
I don't know. What do you got?
We have a bowl in Los Angeles where UCLA is playing Boise State.
Is that Kimmel's bowl?
Is it the Gronk bowl? I should know this. I thought there was Gronk.
Gronk has a bowl?
Yeah.
Gronk is looking at me I should know this stuff.
We have the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Georgia, Southern, and Ohio.
The Myrtle Beach Bowl?
I mean, what?
We got the Cricket Celebration Bowl.
Of course we do.
Howard and Florida A&M in Atlanta. We got Jackson State in Louisiana in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
You work with Pep Hamilton now, right?
I haven't seen him around the shop.
Okay.
We got the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl.
Is that the name of it?
Yes.
I mean, he's great.
Boy. Isleta New Mexico Bowl. The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl.
That's all this weekend?
And the Starco Brands LA Bowl, UCLA and Boise State.
There you go.
All this weekend. All on Saturday.
I thought there was Gronk had some kind of affiliation with one of the bowls.
I thought he did too, because we talked about it. This,
so
I,
what's I, the name of the bowl that UCLA is in? This is not what they, this is not the rallying cry.
It used to be the Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, Starco Brands LA Bowl. I think it's at SoFi, right?
Is it right? Okay. Yeah, that's not usually the rallying cry around Westwood, is it?
No. I don't think
it is. Thanks for the time, Bruce. We'll talk about the Starco Bowl next week and so much more right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Talkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
yeah, I built a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's take some phone calls here on the show. Why not? Scott in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
I got a lot to say, so I'm going to try to be fast.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So last year I called about my fantasy league getting relegation league. Turns out I was in the championship, and because of the Cincinnati and Buffalo game, I would have won. But because my opponent had Dawson Knox, I said, you know what? I don't want an asterisk on my championship. I'll let you count Dawson Knox's points for next week. It did not go my way.
Okay.
So this year, running the 40-yard dash, I got Turf Monster at the finish line and broke my wrist. So
I'm sorry, Steve.
Now, going into the playoffs, do I choose Josh Allen or Jordan Love?
Oh, God. Josh Allen. End of story. Right?
End of story.
End of story.
Josh Allen.
Scott.
He's a pick monster with Dallas and defense.
Who cares? He's a touchdown monster.
He's a touchdown monster. Yeah. One in the ground and one in the air. But one in the ground, two in the air. Two in the ground, two in the air.
Still, Scott, please. If it goes wrong with Josh, at least you'll never look back and be mad at yourself. If you pick Jordan Love, who we all agree is probably going to be good at some point and is getting better, I think you will be able to second guess yourself a lot.
And by the way, two weeks ago, how did the Seahawks offense look against Dallas? Were you going to sit Geno Smith?
They put up a lie, yeah.
You know what I mean? So thanks for the call, Scott. You're welcome. Didn't even have him say thank you. Just said you're welcome. Hey, NBA refs, can you understand where you are and who you're teeing up and at what time you're teeing them up? Let's just, for instance, again, The way it works in the NBA, when a team from the Western Conference visits a team in the Eastern Conference, it's one time. That's it. They only come once. That's it. Once and then not again. That's the way the schedule works.
Yep. One take.
So when you've got a star on a Western Conference team in the Eastern Conference house, you must assume there is a lot of the paying customers who are there to see this star player. And you should also safely assume they are not there to see you.
Ever.
This is a public Ever. Service announcement from Rich Eisen.
Arias Consulting.
Consulting. All right? That the fans are there to see this star player and not to see you. Now, does that give the star player carte blanche to berate you?
Maybe.
Hold on a second. I'll say this. Maybe more than you would allow anybody else to berate you.
Yeah, right. The 12th man.
More than
that.
Enough to maybe make you sit there and think to yourself, you know what? I'll still be able to put my head on the pillow tonight and my reputation will still be fine. And maybe, just maybe, other star players will not berate me because I have shown enough restraint to let the leash, if you will, be longer for them. So Jokic, Nikola Jokic, you may have heard of him. He was in Detroit a couple weeks ago. He got two technicals. See you later. Out. And so, hey, fans in Detroit, you know, you don't get to see Jokic, but don't worry. You'll get to see some winning basketball this year. Wait a minute. I mean, not even their own team is going to be able to be a nice soft landing for those who might have seen Jokic in Detroit or paid to see Jokic in Detroit. Last night in Chicago, he got the gate. Again, only one technical this time. Only one. And in terms of, hey, you know, Chicago, who's a fan of Jokic in Chicago? How about it being Serbia night in Chicago, right? That's what it was.
Yeah.
Unreal. So there's a lot of Serbians there to see Jokic, and he got one technical and gone. This was Jokic after the game as to what happened.
Can you explain what happened there to get ejected?
I don't know. It is what it is. I'm just happy that we didn't play in Serbia this game. It's going to be really fun to see how it will be ended. You know, so it was interesting, you know. It is what it is. Some guys can say whatever. I think sometimes what I said is not even a technical, so it is what it is.
Did you ask him, hey, where did I cross the line here? Did you say anything to that?
No, I crossed the line, but sometimes that word doesn't cross the line, so it is what it is.
What's the word?
I don't know.
Because it was quick, because he said something and then ran up the floor and then said nothing, and then he was gone by the time I think he hit the half-court line, right?
Well, I think the quote, too short, I'm just going to say, what's my favorite word? It was a B-word. I'm just going to guess. Well,
Michael Malone, head coach of the Nuggets, was asked this question.
Regarding Jokic, you visited with the officials at halftime. Did they give you any details or clarity why he was tossed?
Well, the official that tossed him, you know, and he asked me, did you hear what he said? I said, I did not. And I will not use the phrase that Nikola reportedly used, you know, but he just felt the language that was used warranted an ejection, a one-tech ejection, which I was very shocked at. And when I heard what he said, I said, I don't understand the problem, because when I grew up, that was a term of endearment in my house.
Soundbite of the year from Michael Malone. Well done, Coach.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think about what he said.
So it's you can't repeat it in public,
right? But
in the Malone household, I love you. I love that coach, man.
Can we say it on Roku or no?
I don't believe so. Okay. I don't even know what it is.
I don't either.
Well, we can guess.
You have an idea? Text it to me.
No.
I'm not going to say them, but I have two guesses.
Okay.
One starts with an M, I think.
Okay.
And the other starts with a B, because I think those are two words that kind of set.
To eject somebody.
The MVP
on one technical on Serbian night in his one shot in Chicago, it better be truly beyond the pale offensive.
Yeah, I don't believe
it was. Is my point.
I believe it was. I believe when we find out what word it is, we're all going to be like, really?
I can't believe it. Now that's twice now.
Stupid.
So I don't know. Do you call the official in and say, what was it? Like, it must have been written up in a report or what have you. But
yes,
you're right.
Man.
Because I've heard some things. The camera has, the TV has picked up some words.
Oh, you can hear stuff.
I didn't get thrown for that.
Do we get a,
along with a two-minute report, a four-letter report.
Nice.
The last 2 minutes, the L2M, and then the four-letter report.
Hello, Felt Forum.
But you're saying it was more than four letters. Is as many?
I think when we 12? Hear it, it's we're not going to be
the
that.
Famous 12-letter one.
12-letter,
but that can't be enough to say one ejection
yeah,
and get
exactly.
out.
Maybe he made up a word. Like,
and
I
just go
sometimes.
Up to him and just say, listen, you do that one more time. I don't want to eject you. It's Serbian night.
Yeah, give him some rope a little.
I mean, I didn't get ejected in Nashville.
You need to go DK Metcalf. You got to start signing that
stuff. He should start signing. That's right. That's right. Learn sign language, Nicola.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.